there's fear and there's doubt and there's, you know, and then you work on all of those and then you're like, okay, I can do it. And then you have to think about the cash. I mean, all of that, like, all together.
Very often we tend to gloss over a business's attempt to create scale as a footnote in their journey. The arrival of funding, the opening of another branch. If you get into the nitty-gritty of these things, they're actually hard to do day to day. Passing down skills and training to someone else who may not carry your passion, ensuring quality as you ramp up products and services takes time, effort, and mistakes. So much so that the entrepreneur can even become the business's own bottleneck by being so central to its fortunes. From Amaya Media, I'm Chirag Desai, and welcome to Tales of the Trade, a show about Dubai's entrepreneurs and pioneers and the stories not just behind the companies, but also the communities they brought to life. Seema Haroon started her company Boom & Mellow as a boutique store selling accessories and jewelry and never actually landed up moving from her single store model until 2018, over a decade after she started her business. Now, like many entrepreneurs, she's someone who caught the bug pretty early in life. So when Seema arrived in Dubai nearly 20 years ago, she set up her first retail venture at Wafi Mall, one of the oldest malls in Dubai.
We were doing great, but I had two partners, and me and the partners were not seeing eye to eye. I mean, we're still, you know, very friendly now, but I mean, at the time, we weren't seeing eye to eye on where we want to take the business. So I decided to get out. So when I got out, I wanted to stay in retail and stay in fashion, but I didn't want to compete with them, you know, just because I just didn't want to.
It was already bad blood or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't want more. Like, I didn't want bad energy there. So I decided to kind of focus more on accessories and jewelry.
So the store actually did well. Is it still on today?
No. It closed after like a year or two after I sold my share. They closed. So I wanted to do something else. And I opened, I decided to focus more on accessories and jewelry. And I was very lucky to get a shop in Mall of the Emirates.
The Mall of the Emirates, which opened in 2005, is one of Dubai's premier shopping malls. For context, it has over 600 retail spaces, more than 100 restaurants and cafes, and nearly 8,000 parking spaces. It's also home to the Middle East's first indoor ski resort. Basically, a tremendously popular mall with a lot of footfall.
Mall of the Emirates was amazing, especially when it first opened. It was we had so much traffic, a lot of tourists. I believe I moved at the right time because people that were coming to Dubai had changed from then till now. So if I had stayed in Mall of the Emirates, maybe it would have, you know, still been good, but not as good as it was when I was there, the 8 years that I was there, because the whole retail market started changing.
In 2008, 9, 10 is when we saw sort of the recession hit.
Actually, no, I did that. I didn't feel it.
You didn't feel it
no,
at all?
I mean, no. I mean, we're feeling it now.
Yeah, well, this
more,
is a different story.
More than I felt it in 2008, honestly, yeah.
So was it because there were certain sectors that were hit very drastically, finance especially?
Yes,
and
exactly.
Real estate.
Yes.
But I guess tourism was not hit as strongly?
No, tourism wasn't hit. Retail, people were still buying. I think, you know, maybe online wasn't as big in 2008 as it is today. It is growing as well. So for me, 2008, I mean, we had a slight change, but nothing like, you know, drastic, like everybody was feeling globally. I didn't feel it here in Dubai, in my business.
Boom & Mellow continued operating out of the Mall of the Emirates for about 8 years, until the store was in the way of the mall's expansion plans in 2013. If she chose to stay on, Seema would need to refit out her store, and the rents had also gone up considerably.
Basically, I had to make a decision. What do I do? Do I pay the high rent or do I? But then paying the high rent also meant I had to close for 6 months while they renovate the area. So that was going to cost me a lot of money. And I just couldn't at the time.
And in 2013, did you already had your online store on at the time?
Yes. I mean, honestly, when I left Mall of the Emirates, that summer when I was leaving Mall of the Emirates and trying to find the other location is when I tried to focus on the online. I started it. I invested in it to make it, you know, work. I can't tell you that it's very negligible compared to my brick and mortar sales until today. But it needs to be there. I think it's important. And at the end of the day, I think all of brick and mortar and online are the same, you know, means to the same end. They, like, people will come online, they will see what you have, and then they'll come physically to the store. Or vice versa, they go to the store and then they go home and they say, you know what, let me go buy this, and they go online. But as much as we've tried to, you know, make it grow and you know, invested in it and done a little bit of marketing and, okay, nothing like the big guys, but I mean, whatever we can do, it's still negligible compared to the brick and mortar sales.
Oh, interesting. So do you have a kind of ratio? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's like maybe 1% of my sales.
Oh, really? Like, yeah. It's that low?
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people that are in the digital world and I've asked for advice. I've asked for, you know, experience share. I don't see that I'm doing anything, you know, wrong, but I feel like maybe it's my product. Women want to touch it and feel it and try it on.
But with accessories, I would imagine this is less critical.
I agree with you. Yes, there's no size. But what people are doing right now, by the way, is they sometimes go and try things on in stores and see what size fits them and whatever. And then they go online and then they search the web to find the cheapest price for that same dress because they know their size. So this is that's been happening. For accessories and jewelry, I think people want to touch them and feel them. Because sometimes in a picture, online, even for me when I do my buying, sometimes I get line sheets, like, you know, designers send me line sheets and I look at them online and I'm like, oh, that's really nice, and I order. And then when the items arrive, I'm like, oh my God, they look so cheap. So I honestly, you really do need to see things physically sometimes. And I think for women, it's an experience, you know, coming to a shop like mine, it's a boutique. They're not buying a phone, they're not buying a fridge, they're not buying, you know, something that, you know, that they can buy on Amazon or they can buy on Souq or, yeah, it's more something that they want to come in, they want to, you know, touch the stuff, try them on, feel the music, you know, get that personal attention. It's an experience more than it is something that they can just go online and purchase.
You said you saw a lot of retention when you moved from Mall of Emirates to Town Center, to be like, okay, well, people that used to come to me. And
but we also did lose a few customers, by the way, because of location. I mean, now that we've moved to the Springs, we have some people coming into the Springs now, and they're like, oh, thank God you're closer. When you were in Mall of the Emirates, we would go all the time, but you're all the way in Town Center. It's too far for us. So, I mean, we did lose a few because of being far. And I keep telling people, but we're online, but we're online. But it doesn't work.
This is back to the 1%
again. Yes, exactly.
They're like, oh, you're online, but
yeah,
I want to come to the store.
Yeah.
Was it as organic as that? Or was it more, there was something more to it in terms of how do I make sure the customer keeps coming back?
I think it's the personal relationship with customers is also very important. I mean, there's some customers I don't know myself, but my staff knows by name. And, you know, they have their numbers and they WhatsApp each other. And, you know, you can't have that in a big big store. You know, you're not going to have the salesperson in the shop, you know, sending you messages and telling you something new arrived or sending you pictures or, you know, as a customer, you're not going to have that, you know, direct access. Customer retention, I think, has to do with the, you know, making a customer feel special, making the customer, you know, knowing the customer by name, having that personal relationship with them is probably the reason why we have the retention. And at the same time, I think we also have retention is because we always change our stock. So it's not like it's the same stuff all the time. We try to, you know, always get new brands. You know, whenever I travel, I try to get new things, fresh ideas. You know, because as a customer, you don't want to come back and see the exact same thing all the time. And another very important thing that we have is our price points. We do have very expensive fine jewelry, gold and diamonds, and, you know, international brands and local and, you know, Middle Eastern. But at the same time, we have a lot of accessories and gift items that are, you know, between like 150 to 400 dirhams, which is a great gift for somebody graduating, for the teacher, for your friend, for even teenagers now are coming to the store and buying gifts for each other because we have that price range. That's something, I mean, obviously, my profit comes more from the fine jewelry because, you know, you sell one piece as opposed to 10 of the accessories. But at the same time, I don't want to ever stop that.
To me, this is where Seema's story gets interesting. Interesting that although the store did really well and enjoyed a prime spot in a busy shopping area, it stayed almost content with who it was. There was just this one store for 8 years at Mall of the Emirates. And then when she landed up moving to a mall in Jumeirah, they continued with the same model for 5 more years.
The rents were really high at one point. Maybe I was just comfortable you know, like in my little one boutique, and I didn't push myself out of my comfort zone. I think now I have, again, grown a lot in the last couple of years that I feel like I want to push myself and I feel like I can do it. I don't know. It's like an internal ambition or an internal fire that's like, you know, you can do it, do more. You can do more than this. And again, definitely the you know, the new rents that we're able to get as retailers helps. I mean, I know my numbers. I know what I can sell. So when I want to do my, you know, very basic, you know, P&L and know if I'm going to make money or not, rent is an important part of it. So when you know that you can make money with this rent, or at least it makes some kind of sense, it, you know, pushes you. When I was in Mall of the Emirates, obviously that was success in itself, being in Mall of the Emirates. But when I moved to Town Center and I was still successful and I was still selling and my clients were still coming to me and we still had some kind of position in the market. You're one store and you're, you know, making money from that one store. That means you have, you know, a successful concept, you have a successful idea. Why are you sticking to one? And then when you open, it's economies of scale as well. You know, when you open a second or a third, you know, your costs, you know, are the same almost for certain things, you know, traveling or your, you know, specific things. So basically, if you divide them over three, you're going to, you know, be making a lot more money. So I thought to myself, you know, I need to move. And also, very, very important point is that the retail market is down a little bit right now. So you, as a retailer, you get good deals with the malls. So I think that was also a factor that played a role in my expansion, because I was getting good deals. I was getting, you know, good rents from the landlords. Then you have to fit out and you have the expenses of fitting out. And then you're like, why did I get myself into this? I don't think this is a good idea. But I mean, hopefully, and then, you know, usually as an entrepreneur, if you're able to, growing when the economy is down is, you know, a good thing and it's the right thing to do. But we're still all hoping that it's going to pick up. So talk to me in 2 years and we'll see. We'll see how I'm doing.
Every entrepreneur wants to scale their business. You start local, but then you want to span the city, the country, go global. Naturally, none of this happens at the snap of a finger. You sometimes have to wait for the right opportunity, work on your plans day to day, handle issues that come with scaling in service and quality. And for Boom & Mellow, it required Seema to take a real hard look at how she was running her business.
I felt all of a sudden that I'm growing from a small boutique to something that is more of a proper business, let's say, that I need to start having systems and procedures in place. I need to start, you know, hiring marketing. And before, it was always me. I was doing everything. It was a small business. It was one boutique. It is still small. I mean, it's tiny. But when I decided to open the second one, I felt like I needed to have a strategy for my company. I mean, I was not a strategy kind of person. I was like, you know what? These are the products I like. I'm going to put them in. I'm going to sell them. And that was just how I've been going for the last, you know, 13, 14 years with this location. So now that I'm opening the second one, I'm like, wait a minute. I can't just keep, you know, doing everything just haphazardly like that. I need to start focusing, have a structure in place, you know, a hiring structure, training for the new employees. I need to, you know, work on my company values, on my mission, on what am I, who am I? What am I doing? What's different with my store? What is it? What's different about it than everybody else's? What sets me apart? I mean, I had to like do a lot of thinking about all of these things, and that was very. It was really a growing experience for me, and I learned a lot through it.
In entrepreneurial circles, there is the concept of a lifestyle business. It's a business that does just enough. It pays the founders, or partners, or employees who are involved. Makes just enough profits and caters to its customers' needs without grand plans to necessarily take over the world. And what Seema is doing here is transitioning from a lifestyle business that she's run for over a decade into a growth-oriented business. More on how that's going right after this. Stay with us. Support for this episode of Tales of the Trade comes from In5. In5 is a leading platform for entrepreneurs and startups, providing simplified business setup, creative workspaces, mentorships, workshops and events, and access to a network of over 100 investors and strategic partners. More than 200 of the region's fastest growing startups call In5 their home, having attracted over 390 million dirhams in funding and creating more than 400 jobs across the tech, media, and design industries. You can also be a part of a thriving startup community where great ideas are nurtured into successful businesses. The place is here, your time is now. Visit infi.ae for more. Our thanks to In5 for their support of this show and Amaya Media. Welcome back. You're listening to Tales of the Trade from Amaya Media with our guest Seema Haroon, founder of Boom & Mellow. Before we get back to the story, though, you might be wondering, what exactly does Boom & Mellow even mean?
So it was a brainstorming session with my sister, and I kept on thinking of words that were, you know, like lace and different colors of stones and names of stones and things like that. She kept telling me, that's not you. You know, you're like loud and, you're always the life of the party and you're whatever. So in French, la boom means the party. So we wrote down la boom on the whiteboard. And then she kept on saying, but no, I kept on telling her, but I'm not like that anymore. You know, now that I have kids and that, you know, whatever, I'm just much more mellow. So we wrote down mellow. Obviously, we wrote down so many other words, but she was convinced that I was, you know, boom. And I was convinced that I was mellow. So it became Boom & Mellow. Boom & Mellow is really me, my personality. I can be boom sometimes and I can be mellow sometimes. But very importantly, it's actually... the stuff in the store is always boom and mellow. I always have things that are boom, and I always have things that are mellow. And even more importantly is women that come to the store have that same, you know, personality where one day they want to have like a very flashy accessory, one day they want something very subtle and elegant. So women have that as well, where they have the boom side and the mellow side. So honestly, I mean, the name for me has a lot of meaning. It's not no longer just about me. It's about the customer. It's about the product. It's about so many things that we have that, you know, the duality of the boom and the mellow in there. And I think every woman has both sides, you know, that came. And until today, my purchasing is very boom and mellow. And, you know, there's a lot of aspects in the store and in the personality of the store that is very much boom and mellow.
When you started out, you did this all by yourself. Like you didn't look at investors or anything like that. Is that still the case? Have you done different things along the way?
Nothing. It's always been me. This is for the first time in my life I took a loan. Honestly,
this is to open the new store.
Yes.
Okay.
So in that sense, I've been lucky that I've never had to. But then you always have the cash flow issues in your business. But, as an entrepreneur, you know how to ride them. You know how to, you know, wait on this and wait on that and, you know, delay this and delay that until, you know, you figure it out. So hopefully now it's becoming harder because I'm growing. But hopefully I'll be able to know how to manage that and ride it as well. So
is there a reason why you didn't, for example, say, consider an investment at some point? Or did you consider it?
I am considering it now. But honestly, I mean, it's just a thought. I have not done anything about it. I haven't talked to anyone about it. I'm considering it. But then again, at the same time, my first business, I had partners. I found it difficult. But then again, that was a different case. So now if I want to think about it, it would have to be either a strategic partner, somebody that will help me grow that is already in this business, or it would be, you know, just investors, silent investors.
Stay out of my way after that.
Stay out of my way. it's not an easy business to get partners in that want to get involved, because it is fashion, and it is usually women are the ones that love fashion. And if you're going to get investors that are women that want to get involved, you're going to have, you know, clashes in tastes. And, you know, she wants to buy this and this one wants to buy that. And no, this will work and this will not work. And then you have that whole dynamics that is very difficult. So if I want to get investors, they're going to purely be business investors and not interfere in the day to day, especially the buying and the purchasing, customer service, all of that.
So from a single store until 2018, Boom & Mellow is now on the verge of opening their third location. Frankly, however driven you are, if you've been doing something sufficiently well for over a decade, it's not easy to suddenly shift gears, especially when that change comes with new risks that you're not used to.
And there's fear and there's doubt and there's, you know, and then you work on all of those and then you're like, okay, I can do it. And then you have to think about the cash and getting, you know, the loan. And I mean, all of that, like, all together. But in the end, there is some kind of a pleasure and satisfaction in the idea that I am able to do it and I can. And you take it one step at a time. Honestly, there's so many things that happened in the last few months that I'm like, okay, one step at a time. I'm not going to stress about this one step at a time. So you just have to go with the flow. I mean,
give me an example of something.
Oh, God. I mean, I just fit out the new shop. So basically, I had so many ups and downs and I had to, you know, pay late opening fees, and I had to, you know, deal with the designer designing something that was triple my budget, and I had to, you know, like little things here and there, you know, that just were very stressful. But now that it's over and I'm open, I feel great, and I love the store, and there's a lot of learning that happened there that will make the third one even smoother for me. But I mean, there's definitely a lot of fear that comes with it. Again, that's why I also feel like I need to have more systems and procedures in place to be more organized, to have like my company's tragedy, not tragedy, hopefully
there's
not,
a slip
hopefully,
there.
Oops, in my company's strategy in place. And I'm getting help with all of this, you know, which is, you know, like a little bit of coaching, a little bit of mentoring, which I has benefited me tremendously.
How much are you involved in sort of more the day-to-day stuff versus, especially now? I mean, now I'm guessing less so.
I used to be very involved. I mean, I can't say I go every single day, but like, you know, almost every single day I used to be there in Town Center. Now it's become a bit challenging because I, you know, can't be in both places at the same time. So I try to do one day here, one day there. I have great staff that some of them have been with me for 10, 12 years. So basically, and now I've hired new staff as well, which is another reason why I need to get my act together and have like a proper training and, you know, introduction to who we are and what we are. But right now I'm trying, and I'm doing this like coaching thing online where, you know, it teaches you how to work on your business, not in your business. So that for me is the challenge, is because, you know, I'm like in everything. So now I'm trying to like delegate and have them, you know, take responsibility, you know, tasks, objectives for the employees, so they know what to expect, what is expected of them. And that way I can, you know, slowly work on the bigger picture. Buying is something I can't give away. And that's one thing that I can't delegate. I think it's very important for me to do it. But like everything else, customer service, day-to-day things, you know, dealing with the contractors, I don't deal with any of that anymore, thank God. Entering the inventory, I mean, when I first started, I remember so well, I learned how to use the software. I would enter myself everything in Excel and price them, and I don't know what. Now I'm just like, okay, how does this work? I'm not as involved in those small details. I mean, slowly, over the last 13 years, I think I have learned to, you know, delegate more and more and get myself a little bit out of the details.
Do you have a moment where you felt like it was not going to work for you?
Honestly, every summer. Every summer in Dubai, I'm like, how am I going to survive? What am I going to do? You know, the sales go down in the summer, obviously, you know, July, August, that it's, I think probably every retailer in Dubai, you know, has the same feeling, you know, that you just start, you know, getting scared about your, you know, your cash flow. How are you going to pay your checks after summer? And, you know, that probably happens to me almost every summer.
Really? Every summer?
Almost every summer. I'm like, when is it going to get better? When is it going to get better? Oh, no. We have 2 months in the summer where it's very slow.
We often talk about entrepreneurship as being a lonely business. And that's why it's so key to have a great support system that can help keep things grounded when they need to be. But it has to be a two-way street. important as it is for an entrepreneur to have the support system that allows them and their business to flourish, the business in return needs to make way for the personal life to flourish as well, which perhaps played a part in the boom and Mela story and why this expansion is happening now versus, say, 5 or 7 years ago.
Honestly, a lot of times I used to think that, and I used to say, why didn't I expand earlier? But now, looking back, I'm happy I didn't expand earlier, because if I had expanded a few years ago, I might be suffering and closing down today. Because a few years ago, the rents were super high. It would have been more difficult. So in hindsight, right now, I say, no, maybe this is the right time for me. And my kids are older as well. I do have 3 kids. And now that I have a 17-year-old, a 13-year-old, and an 8-year-old. So basically now that they're all pretty much more independent than they used to be when they were younger, I have more time. My husband is very supportive. I don't talk too much about my business. I don't like to, come home and complain and this happened and that happened. And I don't know. I'm not that type of person. I try to, kind of detach myself from the business. I think it's just a character. I mean, even sales-wise, like sometimes he tells me, how are the sales? I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. Like, I mean, if the sales are bad, if I get a reaction from him or from anyone, I mean, but he's probably the only one that I would share my sales with. But if he gives me a reaction of like, oh no, I would get upset. Like, don't do that, don't say, oh no. And then if I have good sales, he's like, oh my God, that's amazing. And I'm like, no, don't do that either, because I want to detach myself from, that number, because it doesn't mean anything. I don't want to feel like, oh, I had good sales today. I'm going to get all excited. And if I had bad sales, I'm going to be down. Because if I let that happen to me, I will be like a psychological mess. I can't let it. I need to have that distance and not be as attached to, not those daily things that happen. But in general, my husband has always been very supportive. He's always pushed me. He pushed me to be part of the EO, the entrepreneurial organization, which again, like I said, helped me a lot. So he's pushed me in many ways and is very helpful in that sense. Sometimes he's not very hands-on with the kids, which we argue about sometimes. I mean, I'm just being honest here. And if he's listening, he's not going to be very happy with me saying this. But I mean, I think it's men in this part of the world are not very hands-on with the kids. So that's something that, sometimes I tell him, you need to do more with the kids. So I find myself struggling, doing the business. But he is also, he has a job too, and he works really hard. So he doesn't have the time either, So, but all in all, he's been great support. And I have good kids, honestly. I mean, I don't have kids that, like, gave me a really difficult time. And, they, in general, knock on wood, thank God, they're good kids. So that's why I think that this is the right time for me. I mean, that was the only thought that comes to mind, is why didn't I expand earlier? But now that if I really want to think about it, there's never a right time. There's never a perfect time. It just happened that, and it's actually maybe to my benefit that it's happening now and not before.
Boom and Mela is set to open their third store, the Nakheel Mall on the Palm in Dubai, in a few months. You can find out more by visiting boomandmela.com. This episode was hosted and produced by me, Chirag Desai, with support from Gaya, Abhishek Vankatasubramanian, Sukena Kazmi, and Zainab Ujjaini. Original music was composed by Reiner Erlings. Tales of the Trade is part of the Amaya Media Network. New episodes of this season will be available every second Tuesday. You can listen to the show and all of its past episodes for free in your favorite podcast player, on the web at talesofthe.trade, and you can follow us on Instagram for more. We'll see you in 2 weeks.